Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Let's go ahead and pray again. Holy Spirit, I ask for your divine leading and your guidance in us, through us, and around this room right now. I ask, God, that we would have ears to hear, that we would have eyes to see, that things that remain in any obstacle toward us fulfilling all that you have for us would come to an end, that all obstacles would come to an end, and that we would see clearly this moment, that this is a special time in history, this day, for the body of Christ, for the nations. And so I'm asking, God, right now, that you would use me as a vessel, and Lord, that I would not hold back anything that you stirred in me yesterday, and that I would be able to communicate it. And Lord, I pray that today that there would be a shift in the lives of men and women and families in this room today because of what you're doing and what you're ready to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We agree? Amen. Well, I had a video planned out, and I'm doing an audible thing where I kind of said, oh, we're going to skip the video, and I'm just going to go right into this because I feel like I need the time, and I think you need the time. Yesterday, in the house of prayer, as I was preparing the message, I'd already kind of knew the direction I was headed, but yesterday, the Holy Spirit just really started falling on me, and I was just weeping and crying and screaming. And I did it again this morning. And I was like, Lord, I said, what do you have? What are you wanting to say to them? And some of it's very simple, but there's going to be a moment where I'm just going to proclaim some things over all of us in this room before we leave. I'm going to get to that. But today, just, you know, all of us many times are wondering, what is it that God has for us? And we're wondering, what is the goal of my life? What is the purpose of my life? What is the destiny of my life? Where am I, God, and what should I be doing? And that's an ongoing question. And I believe that if we mix and mingle too many things of the world and we don't allow ourselves to directly hear from the Holy Spirit in God's word, that we can easily get off track of what God has for us. It can happen to any one of us at any time. We can be deceived quickly because even of a good thing or a good feeling. So what is your goal? What is your purpose? And what is your calling? Today, I feel I want to help you begin to zero in on that, of what that is for your life, for your family, for your businesses, for your music, for your worship, for everything that you do, that it is all for his glory and for his honor. That's what I want to help you with. If you turn with to Matthew 6, 19 through 24, I want to read this first before I get into it. A couple scriptures, well known. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth, or God and man. Turn to John 15 now. That's a strong verse that I just read, but this is even, I don't know if they're stronger, but they're equal. Jesus said, I am the vine. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that's in me that's in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. I think many of us are in that place of pruning. I think God is trying to get through to us. I don't think that we're waiting on Jesus. I think Jesus is waiting on us. I feel that with all my heart. And so he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. So maybe times in your life, even in ministries, when you say, what's going on? Many times God is pruning. For what purpose? To bear what?
More fruit.
More fruit. To be fruitful. To bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. No one in this room, in Christ, can bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do. Let's do it again. Apart from me, you can do. So that points us in a direction quickly. It points us in the direction that he's saying no matter what we do, no matter what we feel our calling is, no matter how many businesses we own or how many songs we've written, apart from him, we can do nothing. Everybody got that? Everybody agree? Say amen again if you agree. Okay, that's good. You can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. And so prove to be my disciples. And that's our desire, to be disciples of Christ, to be fruitful. When I talk about what is your goal, what is your purpose, what is your calling, what is your goal? What is your goal? And how we answer that, what is our spiritual calling? What are we living for? What is our goal? Our number one goal is men and women of God. Our number one goal above everything, to do anything, to be completely fruitful. Our number one goal is loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And it's said over and over and over and over. And he's challenging you today. You want to ask and see things happen. You really want to fulfill the calling that you have that's been given by him, then you have to make sure that you're operating in the calling for your life, which is loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now, do you get that? So here's the thing. Don't complain or say, why is God not listening? Why is he not doing this? Or point the finger at anyone or anybody or any ministry. If you are not in a place where you're saying, Lord, do whatever it takes. I want to love you with all of my heart. All the things that are in the way, start moving them away. Show me, God, as a father, as a mother, as a brother, as a sister, show me how to love you with all of my heart. So how can you really walk in a calling if you aren't walking in the calling of loving God? You just can't do it. Well, I want to go here. I want to be part of this. I'm going to go to this group and get trained up. Well, let me just tell you one thing. No matter how much you're trained up, it all comes back to the same place. Loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. There's no option. There's no other way. What good is it if we're successful in business or in ministry or in music or in art or in anything that we're doing, and we have forsaken the invitation that God has given us for all eternity, which is to love him? What good is it? It doesn't mean anything unless you're in the position of loving God. What really counts is our love. What really counts is us expressing radical faith and obedience from a place of divine love. And I've said this before, many times we can do ministry to love other people and we become codependent on doing ministry. And it feels good because it feeds something in us. And so we feel good that we ministered to them and we made sure that they knew Christ. It's awesome. But if we forsake the first love, it means nothing. You mind if I share what you shared with me on the phone the other day? Okay. I just came. It popped in, so I thought I'd ask. It's not on the notes. The other day, I was talking to Josh, and we were talking about this, about loving him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And when we were talking about it, he said, you know, he said, I felt like today I'm going to get up, and I'm going to go minister Jesus. I might mess it up a little bit on memory here. I'm going to go minister Jesus, and I guess you ministered to a few people, like three people, you said, about Christ. And he said he came back to the house, and after doing that ministry, he felt empty inside. And because he thought doing that ministry, he would, and he realized he felt empty inside because he wasn't spending time with Jesus. And I thought, man, that's a perfect example of just how we can be caught up in ministry and we forsake being with him. I want to help you guys. I want to help myself. I want to be a radical lover of Jesus. I hope you do too. To love God begins to set priorities. It starts when we start loving him again. It starts alignment within our life. And if we align ourselves with him, it really changes things because the world system is completely different. We're talking about aligning ourselves with an eternal value system. Eternal value. There it is. Londa, an eternal value system that's anchored in eternity. And that's what God's called us to. I don't want to speak over your heads, but our goal and our purpose is to be in alignment with a bigger picture and not just living our lives ho-hum. And I know that you've heard this over and over, and I've heard it over and over. But I'm telling you, the time is now. The time is now to get this, to live this, to lay down every agenda that's in your life, whether it's being ministry or just living, and come back to the first commandment with everything. Because that is the goal of every believer's life. And everything flows out of that. This is our goal. This is our purpose. This is our calling to love him that way. The love of Jesus, I believe, is going to create earthquakes in business. The love of Jesus is going to create earthquakes in provision, where so many have lacked in provision. Because the love of Jesus causes you to align yourself with eternity and the kingdom of God. It aligns every place that you need to be obedient and disciplined in him. It aligns you because it's love. And I'll tell you, when you love him, you'll do anything for him. It does not matter if people turn against you or forsake you. I believe that this love is going to be an earthquake that begins to change families. Did you notice how much Michael and the team sung about love this morning? He had no clue that I was going to love, 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 love. And they saw all about love this morning. Don't tell me that's a coincidence. God hooks things up, aligns things, so that his purpose is to get through to you more than anything. He's happy. He's excited about his future. Because guess what his future is? His love is so radical toward his inheritance. Who is his inheritance? Every one of you in this room. If we can get as radical about Jesus as he is about us, it will change everything. He's radical about his inheritance. And we haven't aligned ourselves with that kind of radical understanding and that kind of love. I believe that this love is going to cause an earthquake in the churches in Michiana and all across this region. And I believe that people are going to... See, you can't have unity in the body of Christ for the sake of unity. You just can't. Unity comes from love. It comes from loving God and accepting one another and being able to accept differences. And you have to ask yourself, are you serving him? I almost went to Hebrews 12 because it's such a powerful chapter. Are you serving him? Are you really serving yourself? Because you can serve yourself and be born again very easily. He wants you to make a decision about serving him. Our hearts are full many times with impure thoughts and carnal things within us and carnal motives. Jesus, I said it, wants to fulfill the destiny of the Father. That's what he wants to do. That's what he did when he was here, what he told us. He wants to fulfill the destiny of the Father. And guess what we're called to do? We're called to fulfill the destiny of Jesus. That's what a disciple does. We're called to fulfill the destiny of Jesus. Our destiny in him. As the bride of Christ, and we've explained this over and over, you know, sons and daughters of God, bride of Christ, sons of thunder, it means men and women. The bride of Christ is talking about this intimate connection, devoted covenant between Jesus and his people, his bride. So when I say that, if some of you don't understand, we use that terminology a lot around here. It's talking about us as the bride of Christ. We're called to minister in a way that fulfills the destiny of Jesus and his purpose. That's our calling. That's our purpose. That's our destiny. And however we have wrong priorities, we'll violate the true love that is being offered to us. True love, again, will cause us to walk in purpose and destiny. When you're high-minded and when you're arrogant, when you get all about yourself, it creates a barrier between spiritual intimacy with Jesus. God wants us to humble ourselves before him and to serve him with all of our heart. The season maybe that you're in right now might be a real tough one. It might be really hard. But I'll tell you this, the season that you're in right now, have you ever thought that it might be a gift from God? It might be a gift from God to get your attention, to get you in a place to hear his voice, to get you to understand really how much he loves you. You know that Jesus' heart, we sang it today, his heart is for you. Jesus is for you. He desires to deliver us from any self-centered identity. And don't think that we don't have a little bit of that. You know? Don't fool yourself. We need to be more and more radical. I know that some of us are doing really good right now, and that's great. But just make sure that the good isn't separating you from your full identity that's found in him. Our goal first, our goal, your goal for life. And I would be preaching a wrong message if I told you anything else, but your goal is to love Jesus with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. As we answer the spiritual call, we can't get preoccupied with personal destiny or our personal calling. Our gaze has to be fixed on him, the beloved one. And it has to remain fixed on him continuously. And we've got to understand this. And there's one thing I wanted to be put up on the screen for you to write this down. And because I wanted you to understand this. Our destiny doesn't just belong in him. It is him. It is him. It's just not in him. It is him. It is Jesus. And if we can grab hold of that, oh my. Jesus is moving every one of you toward your destiny. I believe that because you're his inheritance. As I said earlier, he's waiting for us, and not that we're waiting on him. He's called you and I to live connected to his eternal purposes and not conforming to the things of this world. He's called us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added on. This is a liberating message. This is like, oh yeah, you know, because, you know, I think it was Betsy, I don't know who was singing it, going to shout from the rooftops, you know. Are you shouting from the rooftops? Because what I'm about ready to speak over you is about that. Being as bold as a lion from the place of love. Things are shaking in the earth. Things are shifting and changing in a massive way. And yesterday, we're going to pray just in a moment. Yesterday, I started getting some things in the spirit and started writing them down when I was in the prayer room. And I knew that it was for all of you here. I think it's for the body of Christ. But I know that it was for you guys. I know that it was for me. And I felt like the Lord said, make sure you let them know that they're living in an open time of history. Make sure that they know that right now things are shifting in our nation, in the nations across the globe. They're changing. The earth is quaking. Let them know that they live in an open time or an open window or an open gate. God is opening something up to every one of you. And we're living in that time right now. And I felt urges of that all throughout my life. The Lord was convicting me yesterday. Are you going to murmur or are you going to be a voice? Are you going to just lay back or are you going to start screaming it out again about who he is and about standing? Because you know what? When you hear me speak, I'm always talking about intimacy with Jesus. Why? Because I know it's the very foundation that anything moves from that place on. And if you don't have intimacy with Christ, you don't have anything. You got high-mindedness. Never mind. Open why? And I was like, Lord, what are you talking about? Because he wants to give you greater understanding of what he's doing. He wants to give you greater understanding in this moment. He wants to let you know that there's going to be so much available to every one of you if you'll take advantage of it right now. But you got to take advantage of it. And if you don't have the foundation of love, you can't take advantage of it. It's about every act that you're functioning in, whether it's business, music, it doesn't matter what it is, what you're working, wherever you're working, it's about everything that you're doing that God wants you to take and to know that this is an available time right now and to take advantage. Don't delay. It's in this moment. It's in this time. This is your opportunity as men and women of God to emerge into what the Father has for you. This is your opportunity. I want to encourage you to emerge into what the Father has for you. Because this is a known fact, and I'm sure that some of you have thought about it, but Jesus is coming back. He's coming back, and things are quaking and moving and shaking, and so you need to be ready. It's time for you to get out of all your church growth formulas or your mindset and stop living on the fringes of religion and live completely, absolutely in the place of the kingdom of God. It's time for you to fall completely in love with the one that is completely in love with you. It's time for you to fall in love with him again. Things are separating in this nation. Nations are separating. You know that. You feel that. You see that. You see the hatred and then you see the love. Things are changing. It's almost like the sheep and the goats are being positioned in this hour. Things are shifting and changing. And you've got to be open. People have got to be open to the love of God and the gospel being preached. You can't just sit by and let things just keep going. We can't stop. We can't be put down. We've got to be bold in our faith, but it comes from a place of love, not boldness and arrogance or, you know, you're going to hell and trying to condemn people. No, it comes from a place of love where God really moves because we're so in love with him and supernatural things are expected and supernatural things happen day in and day out. That's where we're supposed to live, not in religion or on the fringes of it, but madly in love with Christ, singing about him, living for him, speaking about him every opportunity we get, no matter where we are. We've got to be open, and people are becoming open to the gospel. They are. We cannot be wimpy Christians. We cannot be wimpy Christians anymore. We've got to be bold as lions, filled with the love of God, to be radical, living from a place of divine love. We are to live in that passion, that purpose, that power, the prayer, and that we're to live in supernatural provision because we're going to receive that by being positioned from a place of love. And folks, we cannot be kind of rocked to sleep by what's going on in the world. We can't be rocked to sleep by all the hatred that's happening in the world. You know, the Catholics and the Jews, when Hitler did his thing, they didn't know what was going on. They were kind of going with it because they couldn't focus on what was really happening. There is evil on the globe, and it's going to increase. But the love of Jesus is also going to increase. This is a time of the birth pangs of God. And I know you've noticed them. This is the time of the birth pangs of God. This is a Jesus time like no other. That the reflection of Jesus arises through you and I, and the love of Christ arises through us. That we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but we're bold and we're speaking it. The last couple of days, it started the new year in Israel, and it's called the Feast of Trumpets. It's called the 10 Days of Awe. It's their new year. And yesterday, when I was looking at that, and a friend of our guy, Kohim, from Israel, and listening to him a little bit, I realized that the kingdom governmental movement is happening right now across the nations. Israel is very important. But the Church of Jesus Christ, right now, the government of God is being set in place in a powerful way and how it functions. I spoke recently about a shift. Guys, gals, we're in that shift. We're in a shift. What are you going to do about it? I don't want this to be just another message Pastor Bob did. I could care less. To be honest, this is another message. No, this is a time. This is a time for us to awaken. Amen. It's a time to move in the shift. There's a shift that's coming in America. What are you going to do? Because I'm going to tell you, hatred is going to increase. But we were singing about revival and about us being revived. There's a shift coming in America. It may take us by surprise, but it's about being a voice, and it's about being bold for Jesus and loving Jesus and not being silent. The last thing I want to touch on is this. I haven't shared this for a while, but I believe that God, number one, is wanting to have sustainable day and night prayer and healing 365 days a year. What do you think? That's his heart. That's his heart. I believe that God wants to have 365 days a year of a sustainable food source for people and provision for people of all kinds. I believe God wants to have 365 days a year of energy for God's people. Look at Puerto Rico right now when you go off the grid. If you're an investor, invest in generators right now. You probably would do good. Everybody's buying them up. But God is going to do something. And I want to show you, I don't know how this is going to work out. But before I pray for you, and then we're going to take an offering at the end, every one of you are called. Every one of you are called to love him first and foremost above everything. But this is something I believe. There is an apostolic financial movement that God's wanting to do. And it's going to shock people. Because men and women that have ideas, that are creative, that have businesses, I believe God's going to move upon them. In the same way, I believe he's going to move upon singers and musicians and creative people. And that you may not have this right now, but God is going to cause you to see things, I believe, differently if you'll just love him. So today, I wanted to pray a song that was heard in heaven. And I want to pray it. And it's okay if you don't. That's fine. It's just everybody's got seasons. But if you own a business, if you are contracting, doing things, and you have that spirit of living in the marketplace, the kingdom marketplace, and living for God, and if you own any business, I want you to stand up right now because I want to pray for you, and I want the rest of us to pray for you. Everyone in here that owns a business. If you're selling something, if you're doing something on your own, I want you to stand up. If you've owned a business too, because I don't believe it's over. Laura, I want you to stand up. You're running a business, and so are you, Robert. That's my son, if you didn't know. Every one of you. Now, I want to pray, because here's what I believe is going to happen. I believe that God is going to cause the kingdom marketplace businesses to begin to understand why they even got in business. And he's going to bless you with more provision than you've ever imagined as you begin to say yes to him completely and absolutely. But here's the other thing about that. You have to be faithful to what he's telling you to do. You got to be faithful. And that faithfulness is this, that you make sure that you're loving him with all your heart, and you make sure that you're giving into the storehouse, and you make sure that you're lining up with his heart. Because I'll be honest with you, most kingdom businesses, I think he's going to call you to give much more than 10%. I just believe that. And right now, in our ministry and probably many ministries across the land, if we would just get in line with God's principles as a business community, as owners, as a kingdom marketplace, it's going to pour in to the house of prayer. The other day, I started weeping. I was with a friend, and I was talking because I believe that Nehemiah 13:10 was given to me by God, and I am not going to give up on it. And what that says is, where are the singers and the musicians that minister to God day and night before the throne of God? And the leadership of that day said, they're in the fields working. He said, come and get them out of the fields. Put them at their post to minister to God. Bring in the tithes and the offerings so that they could be sustained to minister to him. When that has been done, Israel never lost a battle for 33 years in the tabernacle of David. And I told that individual, I still believe that someday, financially, that we could say to singers and musicians that have been called to minister, I want you to do 6 sets in the house of prayer. What you do after that, do it ministering to God. But those 6 sets, I want you to minister to Jesus because he's worthy of it. And I want to be able to support you so you don't have to work in the marketplace. That's been the goal. That's going to be the goal for all the future of going forward, because someday it's going to happen. So I want you guys to reach your hands out right now, if you would, to all the people that have businesses right now. Lord, I just come before you and I ask first and foremost for your blessing upon their finances. I ask, God, that they would be able to hear divinely what you're asking of them. I ask, God, that you would cause these entrepreneurs to put in place exactly what needs to happen according to your word. And God, that you would bless them and that they would increase. I ask, God, that from this day forward, that you would cause them to partner with you. I ask, God, for every business person and everybody seated in this room, that you would begin to create creative ideas within them that flow from you, that they would be able to minister to you and take all of their wealth to sow into the kingdom of God. I ask, God, today that something would happen, that things would shift, that these are apostolic finances. What they have built can never be torn down in Jesus' name, that they will not fade away, but they will remain for all eternity. I ask, God, for your communion to be with them. I ask, God, for the fruit of your testimony to be in their midst in their business. I ask, God, that they would realize just how much you desire to flow through them. I ask, God, that your gracious love would be upon them and that your mercy would endure upon them, that they would understand that you've given them the opportunity to create an atmosphere of your kingdom, to create a place where people would know that this business is for the kingdom. It's for Jesus. So, Lord, bless them. Would you all just pray blessing over every idea in here and every entrepreneur in here and every business, God. Bring them into that place of understanding why they're doing what they're doing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. You can be seated. Doesn't that kind of shock you how many people own businesses here? This is a real small group. It's pretty shocking. Why don't you go ahead and come on up, Michael, and the team. So, going back to the very beginning as we're closing, what is your goal? Your goal is to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Right now, we're going to take up an offering. I'm going to have them come up. You thought you were going to get out without it, didn't you? Somebody said, oh, they forgot the offering. No, we didn't. We didn't forget it. There's a real need to sow into this ministry right now to keep things flowing and going. And all I'm asking, for years and years, my wife and I and many others, we've poured in and we believed God. I'm asking you guys to be faithful with your giving, to be faithful with your tithing, to sow into this so we can continually move forward in what God has. I'm asking you also to think about the house of prayer. The other day, we got a commitment of $5,000 more for the house of prayer given. That was awesome. Got $1,000 and a commitment for the other four. And so this is something that is hugely on God's heart. So I ask today that as we take this offering, that you would truly be faithful and that you would give. We have got to keep moving forward. And I know it's going to take every one of us. Everything that's written out of here, every check that's given is from tithes. It's from the people that have been faithful to give. And we need to all be faithful if we expect God's blessing. And if you didn't go here, I'd tell you the same thing if you went somewhere else. Doesn't matter. Wherever your storehouse is, sow into it and be faithful to it. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for this morning. I hope that it stirred all of us today to kind of get in alignment with the bigger picture, the alignment of how much you desire your inheritance, you desire us. That God, that we would know that we need to kind of change some things and come in alignment with what you have for us. I thank you, God, for every person that's been so faithful here. I thank you, God, for all that we've been able to do. I thank you for the fruit that we have had. I thank you for the pruning and the fruit that we will have in moving forward. All for your glory, because it's all about you, Jesus. So, Lord, bless this offering for the furthering of your kingdom, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Story.
Liz wanted to come up and give just a testimony before we leave.
So Dave and I started the business that we have in 2003, and it was actually, the purpose of it was for us to be full-time in the house of prayer. And so we didn't have a business background or business training or anything, so we were really flying blind. But one of the things that we thought would be really great is that we would tithe off of every paycheck we received. And we thought that would just be fun to do. And then as we sort of got into it, people were saying, other business people were saying to us, that's not how it works. You don't have to tithe off of every invoice you receive, every payment you receive from your clients. And so a few years went by, I don't know, 4 or 5 or 6 years or something. And so we thought, well, maybe we don't have to do that. You just wait till the end of the year, and whatever your bottom line is, then you tithe off of that. People were saying that's how they do it. And you know, maybe that is totally fine. But for us, we had set sort of this standard and this goal that we wanted to try and achieve. So that year, that's what we did. We thought, wow, isn't this awful? We were like, wow, this is kind of nice. Like, I'm just being honest. You know, it was like, oh my goodness, you know, we didn't give as much. I love giving, so I don't know why I even thought that, but it was the worst year, of course. It was the worst year. I mean, we had the worst year of business except for 2008. That was probably worse, but I mean, it was just so obvious. Like, work just started drying up. People stopped paying bills. It was just like, oh my goodness, you know. So my point in sharing, as I was sitting back there and I was thinking about it, is just whatever God's put on your heart to do, do it, you know, for your business. Give extravagantly. And just, you know, I think it's going to be more and more and more of those types of things as the days move on ahead of us. Like, well, I've never heard of a business doing that, you know, but it's cool because you've got freedom. You know, it's your business. So just, oh my goodness, yeah, we've been totally blessed. You know, we've made it through 08 when it was like everything we owned was up for sale. And, you know, like, and since then, like, the Lord just keeps blessing us. And that looks totally different for each business. It's like, let's not compare ourselves to each other, both in the, you know, in the need or in the giving. Like, just give what the Lord has put on your heart to give and use that as a tool, is what I think. It's just a tool to be able to just, like, let water flow in, flow out. So, anyway, yes, I would love to pray. Okay, Father, thank you so much for your faithfulness, for who you are, for your kingdom, God, that is set up to allow us to partner with your heart. And Father, we ask that you would just open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we cannot contain for the purpose of your glory, not for the purpose of our name or our fame, but God, that your name would be advanced, that the nations would look to you and say, oh my, what a good God you are. And so, Father, I pray that specifically in this room, businesses that are represented, it's not for accident, Lord, that we're even together as a body of believers, Lord. I pray that you would just continue and blessing, and that resources would flow. I pray specifically right now for those creative entrepreneurial ideas that need provision. God, I ask that the doors would open, that connections would be made, that relationships would happen that would allow those ideas to move forward, that your kingdom could be advanced, that the house of prayer would be advanced. Lord, it's a beautiful thing, and we just say thank you, letting us be a part of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless you. Go in peace. Have a beautiful day. Loving Jesus. Be encouraged.